How's it going? Again, thank you for joining us here at the Football Diary podcast. We are here to talk mainly about the incredible game between Man City and Spurs, where we see Man City taking losing points for the first time for a defeat, at least since October, I think, in a fantastic performance for Spurs, who we probably written off about a week ago here. So apologies to Spurs fans for kind of making that assumption too quickly, but they didn't get battered by City. They actually took the game to them really, really well. And hats off to Antonio Conte, who actually pulled out a real tactical masterclass, really, in some ways, to get the best out of his team. And blimey, I tell you something, it was a really, really good performance from them, wasn't it, Dave? And Harry Kane in particular was just amazing.
Yeah, and a performance that kind of came from nowhere, really. And obviously the last few weeks, I think probably a lot of Tottenham fans were, you know, dreading this fixture. Obviously with how they've performed in the last couple of weeks. It was obviously a big surprise.
Did you see much of the attacking intent from Spurs then? Because they were countering really, really well, weren't they? They were kind of playing against this really high press from City and hitting them on the break so many times. I didn't see that coming. We haven't really seen Spurs do that much this season. So why now?
No, and it was definitely Harry Kane's best game this season. And Harry Kane of old, really. And it sounds a bit daft to say that because he's obviously, you know, not been out of form, you know, for a year or more. But it was a surprise just because of how kind of off the pace he's been this year, and a lot of people were questioning whether he's on the decline, and he's managed to pull out that performance, and he was the best player on the pitch by a mile. It was a combination of obviously Tottenham doing what they can do well and Man City having an off day. But even on an off day, Man City, they still look threatening, but they were nowhere near at their best and defensively vulnerable as well. So yeah, you've got to give a lot of credit to Tottenham in particular. Their front players and their defence held out really strong, and they were really dogged defensively and compact at the back. You could see the structure and the organisation had to be perfect, and it was obviously complete opposite to what we saw against Wolves last week, and full credit to them, really. And the only thing I feel as though, even in the last couple of years, City have won the league. I feel like they have got this performance in them, though. I feel as though they have had a little blip in the last couple of years, and that we've seen a response from them. So I'm not, you know, if I was a Man City fan, I wouldn't be overly concerned with the performance, to be honest, because it's a blip in what will probably be. They'll probably go on another run now. Once, you know, it's something we're kind of used to seeing from Man City as a team over the last few years, in particular. So I felt as though there was too many players for Man City that had off days. De Bruyne didn't. He looked well off it. A lot of misplaced passes as well, which obviously wouldn't associate with a Man City team. I'm sure Guardiola was absolutely furious, especially with early on in the game. They just couldn't really put a foothold, and obviously got a sucker punch right at the beginning of the game. And you know, it's not really, you wouldn't really associate that being an issue for Man City and going 1-0 down, because you know you're going to be on the back foot for pretty much the whole game, and you have to take your chances. And fair play to Tottenham, they were clinical.
Well, that's the thing. I think we've only ever seen City struggle when they've fallen behind. There's almost like a question mark about how they can adapt to being in that position, because it doesn't happen very often, does it? And then it was at the fourth minute Kulusevski got the opening goal, and they kind of did the similar thing. They didn't know how to respond to it. And the credit has to go to Conte, really, because he set up the defensive line and the midfield line to be really compact around sort of the forward players. And obviously Man City normally cut in from sort of wide areas, don't they, and try and sort of work their way into the box. they couldn't do that at all because the space was so limited in those areas. So you could see what Conte was trying to do. And not only that, but the defence for Man City was sort of really high up. They're on the halfway line still. So whenever there was an opportunity to break, Harry Kane was ready to receive the ball, hold up the play, turn and play through Son usually. And it worked so many times for Spurs, didn't it? So I don't know why Guardiola sort of invited that sort of counter-attacking play, because that's what Conte's kind of known for, isn't it? But I do feel like City need this kind of performance every now and again just to keep them grounded, because they don't suffer this kind of defeat very often. So it is almost like a little bit of a reality check for them, isn't it? And as you say, they probably will go on a run now and go unbeaten again for another 5-10 matches and sort of swat away any challenge from Liverpool, which is normally what they do. But that's my next question, really. Does this kind of open up a title challenge of any kind for Liverpool?
Well, yeah. You know, it makes it interesting again. But obviously, you know, there's going to be a few games, a few interesting games that come up, obviously. City have still got to play a few of the bigger teams, obviously the Manchester Derby, which is coming up shortly as well, and that'd be an interesting one. So, I mean, there's going to be plenty of probably twists and turns. I can't see City dropping too many points along the way, just because how efficient they are of getting the job done. And more often than not, it's convincing.
Well, so, Liverpool have got Leeds next in their game in hand, haven't they? And they've still got to play each other, Liverpool and City. So, you know, credit to Liverpool. We said in January they'd really sort of struggle to keep pace without their key players at the Africa Cup of Nations. And they have. They've more than kept pace. They've actually gone on, I think it's a 5-game unbeaten run. So that's a good response to sort of being that far behind in the title race. And the only way City are going to drop points, maybe potentially, is against Liverpool themselves, surely.
Yeah, obviously, I feel as though if the gap's the same when it gets to that game, then the pressure will be on Liverpool, really, because I think they'll feel they have to win. They'll have to win that game. But again, there's a lot of games in between now and then until we get, especially the latter stages of the the Premier League, and got European football in between then as well. So I don't think you can look too far ahead. We've seen teams make that mistake before, and be guilty of dropping points to banana skin fixtures. So, obviously, it's good. It's definitely made the season a little bit more interesting, and that we've got. It's kind of all tightened up, throughout the table now, really. So you've got the top four race, relegation as well.
Yeah.
A couple of those bottom teams winning games. So it's exciting. Hopefully it stays this way until the end of the season.
All right, then. Question as a United fan. Out of the two teams running for the title, you don't want either of them to win, really. Like, that's the worst case scenario is Liverpool winning out of the two for me, but how do you see it? If you were going to have to choose one of your two closest rivals to win the title, who would you prefer it to be out of those two teams?
I'd always choose Man City to win it.
It's a hard choice, isn't it? Because,
well, you know, if Liverpool win another game, win another title, then it's ties with our title win. So don't want that. But I mean, it's never nice to see either win it. You'd rather Chelsea win. But unfortunately, we're not in a position to choose, and we're not in a position, as a team, unfortunately, to be challenging for that honour. But hopefully that'll change.
Yeah. Well, that brings me on to sort of the rest of the challenges, really, for top four, because that seems to kind of chop and change quite a lot, doesn't it? And the latest kind of wave of games has seen Man United beat Leeds 4-2. Kind of a highly anticipated game, really, because they've not played at Elland Road in a Premier League fixture with fans for such a long time. And the game was amazing, wasn't it, as a spectacle? Like, it was so hard to sort of, I guess, tactically prepare for either coach, because the rule book goes out the window in this kind of affair, doesn't it? It was such a tense, high-energy game, and tackles flying in all over the place. There was loads of rain. It was terrible conditions. It felt like a game from sort of 30 years ago, didn't it, really, in some ways? A real like 60s, 70s sort of classic encounter between the two. But 4-2 United won in the end. And I thought they were good value for their win. I mean, we had a bit of a scare with two goals being pegged back in quick succession, but I thought the reaction to it was pretty good overall.
Yeah, and it shouldn't have come to that, really, and it's something I've been guilty of, especially over the last few games in particular, conceding goals after the first half. And again, you know, it happens, and you know, we're putting up a lot more energy into a game than we should be, when we should be cruising, tuning it up and finishing it off, scoring a third goal. And
yeah,
but I mean, all credit to them. Yeah, you know they've obviously gone the right way about it, and had the mentality to come back and, you know, win the game for a second time. And I want to give a lot of credit to Ranić, because he made the right subs, even though I think there was a lot of fans kind of, you know, saying, well, why is Pogba going off? Obviously, we've got to win the game. But Fred came on, and he was able to control and pass a ball better in those conditions than he is in on a dry, sunny day. So, we all have our whinges about certain players, but I've got to give Fred a lot of credit. He came on and played really well, and kind of gave us a bit more urgency, I feel, getting the ball forward. He actually seemed like he kind of was in a position further up the pitch, more as a box-to-box and kind of in a two, how he is sometimes with McTominay in a double pivot. And he, you know, he made the difference and got his goal, and it's something he's capable of. I just feel like he doesn't get in the positions enough to show it. We know he's not got the best shooting, but I feel as though he's quite good in his interplay and around, in and around outside the box, and linking up play with, you know, the front players. And I'm happy, you know, he's amongst the goals. And I imagine I feel as though he is definitely a player that, you know, Ranić will be looking at in midweek, and I'd be very surprised if he doesn't start Athletic Madrid. So,
yeah, I thought he brought an energy to the team that no other player had brought up until that point. And like you say, he'd kind of been put in a role with instructions to kind of go box to box and kind of go wherever he needed to go to make things happen. And that freed up Bruno Fernandes in some ways in those sort of closing stages as well. It felt like he was more central than he was prior to that. And then Elanga came on as well and provided a bit more width as well. So you could see what he was trying to do with those changes. And that, I think, for a fan is good to see, because we've questioned the methods and, you know, are the players taken to what his instructions he's given to them? But when he's made a substitution and it's paid off, not just once, but twice, that's kind of vindication, really, for the decisions he's made. So he must be pleased with that, surely, Ralph Ranić, because that's a great response.
I think since he's been manager, we've scored more goals from substitutions than any other team in the league. So, I mean, it shows he's doing something right. Shows that his, you know, his knowledge about in-game management is, you know, very good, and we can't be questioning him on that. And, you know, there's been a few players in there. For instance, obviously, Jadon Sancho had probably one of his best games in the United shirt, got his first two assists for the club, and got the match. And you've got to give him a lot of credit for, since Ranić's come in, you know, he's given him minutes, and he's starting games, which he wasn't under Solskjaer, which I'm sure a lot of people will be scratching their head and wondering why now. You know, the performances that he's putting in, you know, he looks a lot sharper, he looks match fit, he looks quicker. And, you know, he's one of the key players, and he's creating chances, and obviously that's what we brought him in to do, so. It's encouraging times, you know, let's hope it continues. But obviously we're coming up to a few difficult games after Watford, I think. I mean, you know, we lost 4-1 to Watford in Solskjaer's last game, so that's not going to be an easy game itself. So it's a game we should be winning, but It'll be interesting to see how we do against some of the bigger teams. I think we've got Tottenham coming up, Man City.
Yeah.
As well, so crunch time.
That's a real test, really, of tactical awareness for Rangnick, because however he sets up the team, whichever personnel he chooses to do those jobs, will say a lot about the kind of manager he is, really, because, like you say, we've not seen much of him starting a game with a tactical approach that works against any of the big teams yet. We've seen him respond to matches with substitutions, and that's paid off. It seems like he analyses the game really well as he's watching it and responds to the action he sees unfolding before him, which is a really good positive step to have. But how he sets up against the Tottenham, for example, or against the Man City, will be fascinating to see what kind of team he chooses, because I know that Solskjaer was always fairly safe in those kind of situations. Whether Rangnick will be the same will be interesting to note, really. But I think one of the things I noticed from this particular game was how advanced he played Harry Maguire and Victor Lindelof. Like, they were venturing forward all the time, weren't they? Almost as like second midfielders. And that really left like so many confused Leeds defenders thinking, do I go to him? Do I stay off? Where do I go? And that created space around him. So maybe he's going to play the sort of advanced centre-backs as a regular thing now. Because they're both good with the ball at their feet, aren't they? Both Lindelof and Maguire, and I thought they played the role pretty well.
Yeah, I understand, obviously, you know, what you're saying in terms of how advanced they're playing, and Lindelof himself, I've got to give him a lot of credit as well. I thought he had a really good game. Had a big input in the second goal, and obviously went on that amazing run that essentially set the goal up for Sancho to set Bruno Fernandes up for that header. And
Yeah,
he certainly, I feel as though Lindelof kind of reads the game really well. I think he reads the game better than Harry Maguire. And I see a lot of fans saying, you know, they feel Lindelof should be paired up with Varane for our first choice partnership. But again, hopefully, you know, Maguire had a good game, and hopefully this is the start of him building towards some sort of form, and we can kind of, you know, build on this momentum now.
Okay, so top four is not completely written off. We're still in there, aren't we? United with a chance. But where, I mean, how's this going to pan out now? Because, I mean, Arsenal have got, what, three games on us now, haven't they? So they'll naturally overtake us at some point, you'd imagine, barring a disaster. Spurs have now put themselves back in the picture as well. Wolves seem like they're in a really good run of form. West Ham are there or thereabouts. Who's the favourite for that fourth spot at the minute?
I think it's difficult, you know, it's difficult to say. And I would always say points on the board is what you want, because no game is an easy game in this league. And we talk, obviously, you mentioned there, Arsenal are in a good position as well. I think they've got a couple of tough games. They've got to play Wolves in the next game, who, you know, are on, they're probably the form team in the league, really.
Yeah.
How they're playing, they've obviously just come off back of a really good win against Leicester, and obviously Tottenham. So that's really, you might say the Wolves are probably a favourite. Like, it, you don't know. It's going to be a tough game. Again, you know, West Ham is sort of hitting a little bit of a difficult spell. Obviously dropped points in the last couple of games, and you know, we had the conversation last week. How long can Bowen and Rice keep kind of pulling them through and getting them results? And you know, it's a hard one. And for me, I feel as that I'd like to say United are favourites just because of the position that they're in. It's kind of been, you know, I won't say it's in their hands, because obviously other teams have got games in hand, but teams are going to drop points. Nobody's going to win the rest of their games, and you can only take it one game at a time, as a cliche saying, but I feel as though it's going to be between United, Arsenal, and Tottenham. I just feel as though West Ham are just going to fall a little bit short. Same with Wolves. Wolves, you know, they've done brilliantly, had such a good season, especially considering sort of how they were when obviously Nuno left them at the beginning of the season. And they're definitely building something there. Obviously, they've got some key players back. In Neto, obviously, came off of the bench.
Mm.
I'm sure he'll be, you know, really obviously determined to make an impact on that team, and they've definitely missed a little bit of spark in those areas at times up front, and I feel as though he'll definitely have an impact. I've always felt Podence is, you know, ever since he came in from Sporting, he's been touted as being a big talent and having a lot of potential, and you can see it, he's done it in spells and in certain matches but not others. So it was good to see him have an impact on that game in the Leicester game. And I think it'll be between United, Arsenal and Tottenham. Yeah. Tottenham, again, you just don't know what you're going to get with them. They can play really well, obviously, like they did in that Man City game. I'm not sure if I can read too much into that, because how poor they were in the previous two games before that. And obviously, we were writing them off again, saying that they're flattered to deceive. And are they going to be able to do that consistently against some of the smaller teams? I just don't know. It was almost kind of like Harry Kane had a point to prove against Man City, and showing that he can still do it against the best teams, and he looked rejuvenated, and you know, he got them the win. But again, it's another thing doing it against, you know, consistently against the rest of them.
Yeah, this is a strange one, because you're looking at the teams that are contending the top four spot. It's about the consistency, isn't it, really? Like, which of these teams can you realistically see not losing too many or not dropping too many points? Tottenham are one of those teams you can see dropping points still. Even though their victory against City was fantastic, you know, they do look a bit susceptible, don't they? I mean, the Wolves game was really proof of that. West Ham, I think, will run out of steam. I feel like sometimes they are running out of steam at the end of games still, you know, getting by through this by the skin of their teeth. So I don't think they can sustain it for another 10, 12 games or whatever it is. Arsenal, I think, for me, are the favourites. I know you say points on the board, but they've got so many games in hand. And I have to sort of see that as a psychological edge in some ways, because they can see the path in front of them and they know what they've got to do. You know, it's very much in their hands. Whether they'll buckle under the pressure, though, is another question. You know, if Arsenal play in one of the big games they've got coming up, will they see that as must win now, because of the pressure United are putting on? I don't know whose position I prefer to be in out of the two, United or Arsenal right now.
I mean, you know, really looking at it from a biased point of view, any way you look at it, both teams have got difficult games to play, and United have not got an easy run in either. But, I mean, going off of, you know, since Ranić's come in, and we've kind of shown some progression, for sure, we've looked more threatening, we've created chances, especially in the last, you know, three, four, five games, and maybe not always come away with the results that we should have, you know, should have. So, arguably, you could say that United should have a gap between them and fifth, sixth, seventh place, because they've given away silly goals in, you know, games, obviously against Villa, Burnley, Southampton, games probably they should have really have gone on and won. But, you know, again, how many times have we said that and been in that position? But I'm sure, you know, Arsenal and Arteta, he'll be looking at this and thinking, if you'd given him this position at the beginning of the season, said being fourth with 10, 12 games to go, I'm sure he would have taken that, because he's obviously, they've had a few issues. Obviously, they've had the old Aubameyang problem that they've had, of their disciplinary issues as well. So, again, could that be the thing that costs them in the big games?
I think arguably the strength in depth might catch up with them as well. Similar to West Ham, really, because they've got a core of players that are playing really well. You know, Saka and Smith Rowe are driving everything at the minute. They both scored at the weekend. Obviously, Martinelli's a great forward, but beyond that, who's in reserve for them, you know? Aubameyang's gone. They're really weak up front, I think, beyond that. I don't think Lacazette is a massive goal-scoring threat. He's good, but it's not Aubameyang good, is he? So I think United have got definitely more options to call upon if they need to rotate, and they will need to rotate, especially if they want to progress in the Champions League. So, yeah, I think United might have the edge in terms of squad depth and just not running out of steam in the long run, really.
I mean, we've still got, I think we've got to play Arsenal again, haven't we?
Yeah.
For the end. So
that'd be a big one.
Come down to that.
Yeah.
But I don't obviously have a huge amount of confidence in saying we'll get top four, but I'm hopeful that we'll finish the season strongly. It can only go off of the games that were played. And obviously, apart from that Wolves game, obviously, I think it was January the 3rd, when I think that was the last game we lost, actually, other than the Middlesbrough game. We've actually not played too badly, to be honest. There's been some consistent performances in there, and there's been improvement. So, I mean, that's promising. And it will be a telltale sign when we come into these big games, because we've not really played, apart from West Ham, we've not really played any of the big boys yet. So, I mean, yeah, I agree with you. I think it's going to be very interesting how he kind of sets up. That would be involved against some of the bigger teams that are better on the ball and better at controlling game. It might be a case of obviously playing the counter-attacking game, but we've served us so well over the last two or three years under Solskjaer, just because we can't compete with those midfields of those teams because our midfield isn't good enough, basically. So we'll see. We'll see anyway.
Okay, bottom of the table then. So relegation is not really becoming any clearer now, is it? I feel like every week I change my mind about who's like the favourite to go down. Obviously, Watford beating Villa is a massive, massive upset. I wish Miles was here to kind of talk through what the hell Villa are doing at the minute, because they seem to be like looking for the end of the season already, don't they? But Watford win, Burnley win 3-0 convincingly. Burnley took all their chances, and every game week we've seen them so far, they've made chances but not necessarily took them. Weghorst was superb. So they beat, they won 3-0 in their game, which was just incredible again. Like, you just can't predict these games at the minute, can you? Norwich very much rooted to the bottom now, it seems. Newcastle getting a point in their game against West Ham. How's this one going to go? Can you see Burnley continuing to sort of take the chances like they did in the last game against Brighton? Or I have no idea how to play this. Even if they played each other head-to-head, like Watford and Burnley, I had no idea who would come out on top because they're so indifferent at the moment. What do you make of the relegation dogfight at the minute?
Yeah, obviously there's a couple of interesting results in there, especially obviously with Watford. I feel as though Villa are a little bit, not obviously in terms of relegation, but they're a bit vulnerable at the minute. They've had some indifferent results.
Yeah.
And you know, Watford obviously sense that as a game, which they, you know, Villa have had a lot of chances in that game, and obviously it came back to haunt them really. But fair play to Watford, they, you know, they pulled it out of the bag, and obviously their talisman made the difference for them, as he so often has, and up until recently, obviously he had a little bit of a difficult spell, obviously a drought, but. He's been the main man for them this season, Dennis, for Watford.
Yeah.
Scored another crucial goal. If I was going to say out of one of those teams out of the bottom three was going to stay up, I probably would put my, I'll probably say Watford. I still feel as though Burnley, until they go on and, you know, look a little bit more consistent in their performances, and we've obviously Weghorst has come in and had two or three really good games, but I just feel as though they are lacking in quality a little bit compared to some of the other teams down there. Even though we're saying that some of the teams at the bottom are, you know, lacking a lot of quality.
Yeah.
I just feel as though Watford are a better team than Burnley. The players that they've got and players that can impact on games. And again, I think Newcastle might potentially escape. Looks as though, you know, they've obviously got another good, really good result against West Ham. Really good point, in my opinion. I don't think they can be disappointed in that they didn't take all three, because you know, West Ham have shown how good they have been over the last couple of years. It's definitely heating up at the bottom. I feel as though, yeah. You mentioned Norwich there. They yeah, they do look dead and buried, and it's going to take something special really for them to stay up. They need something from somewhere. To be fair, they didn't do too badly against Liverpool. It took Thiago to come on for Liverpool to make a difference, and it kind of turned around Liverpool's performance, and they just looked more threatening and controlled the game when he came on. And I think you got to give Norwich a little bit of credit, really. So they just didn't have enough, and it's the theme really of their season, not quite having enough in the tank. What do you make of their prospects at the bottom?
Well, I think Norwich should be happy to not be rooted to the bottom by more, because there was a point where I genuinely thought these are going to be like the worst finishing Premier League team in history. You know, one of those Derby County type seasons. And that's not going to happen, really, because they'll still pick up a few points. They'll still probably beat a couple of teams along the next sort of run-in, but they're just not good enough, like you said, to pick up enough points. And they've left it far too late. So it's a shame someone like Dean Smith wasn't in charge sooner, because I feel like he probably could have saved them if he'd have been put in charge a lot sooner than he did. But having said that, the teams above them are better. I'll tell you what I like about Burnley. I'm not a big fan of Burnley at all, but they've drawn so many games that they've only won two this season. And yet they're still in a position to pull themselves out of the relegation zone, winning only two games so far, because they've drawn so many. They've got so many points along the way and rescued games just by snatching a point here and there that they're still in contention. And if you look at Burnley's record for wins, draws and losses and Newcastle's, they're very similar. You know, they're both kind of pulling themselves up at the same time, having a terrible start to the season. I think it took them both ages to win their first game, didn't it? Under their old managers. They're very similar records. So I think it would be between Burnley and Newcastle to escape. I do think Watford are down, unfortunately. I think fortunately, because I really don't like Watford. As much as I dislike Burnley, I think Watford are worse, just because their setup, their model, the way they treat managers is just horrendous. And I think they deserve to go back to the Championship. I really do. I mean, I wouldn't like it for Roy Hodgson, because I love the guy. I think he's lovely. I don't think he deserves to have the treatment that I think is probably coming his way from Watford at some point. I hope he just walks into the sunset once the season's over and says, you know what, I've done all I can with Watford. See you later, on his own terms. I'm probably sure that's not going to happen, though. So, Watford and Norwich, I think, are down. Newcastle and Burnley, I've no idea who's going to win out of those two to escape relegation, because there's too much football to play still to sort of make that call. The fact that Burnley are games in hand is interesting, because they're not guaranteed anything. They could just draw two games in hand and that's not changing anything.
Newcastle have obviously had a couple of big injuries, haven't they, to key players. So
But like you said, the quality of the Newcastle squad is so much better than that of Burnley, because they played out their skins in their 3-0 win. But I mean, how many of them players are genuinely like Premier League quality or like mid-table Premier League quality? Obviously, Weghorst is up there. You know, Pope is obviously like a top 10 goalkeeper, isn't he? I would say. Who else? Probably McNeil would get into a lot of teams in the Premier League. But then you've got Aaron Lennon, Josh Brownhill. Do you know what I mean? The quality beyond that is not amazing. So for squad depth, Newcastle should walk it. But the Premier League's not that straightforward, is it?
No, and I mean, that's what we've seen with Burnley. Over the last few years, while they've been in the Premier League, they've had this collection of players, which arguably you could say a lot of them are Championship level players. But
yeah,
Dyche has had this miraculous touch of being able to draw performances out of them consistently throughout the season. They've never been an easy team. And it's got to give them a lot of credit there, really. And how long, you know, they've managed to stay in the Premier League. Because I think a lot of time, I feel as though people have written them off and said, this is good for the season, where I think they'll go down. They've managed to, you know, finish around sort of or just below mid-table. And I sort of hope they don't go down, because I kind of really admire, obviously, what they have done while they've been, obviously, in the top five. It'd be nice to see them stay up and sort of make some sort of progress as a club in terms of attracting some, you know, better quality players, and which I feel like they have done in this winter window especially. But it's just strange how they didn't really do that in the summer.
Yeah. Well, I think they're trying to get away with doing what they all do every season on a budget, aren't they? On a shoestring. And it's caught up with them. And I'm pretty sure Sean Dyche has been banging on the chairman's door saying we need investment for years. Mm. But they get £8 million here, £5 million there, and nothing more. You know, championship teams have bigger budgets than Burnley. So, yeah, he's outperformed everything he should have done, really. So, to attract the likes of Maxwell Cornet all of a sudden, and Weghorst as well, who, you know, have performed fantastically in their previous clubs and should really be playing for a much bigger team than Burnley, might be the start of something if they survive. But that's a big question mark, isn't it, really? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, are you saying Watford to escape relegation then?
I sort of had that feeling up until the few games before. Obviously, their most recent one, they went on a disastrous run and,
yeah,
like, you know, a big run of games where they couldn't buy a win. You know, they might drag me back in now. You know, they've got some really good players in there, the likes of obviously Josh King, Dennis. You know, Josh King is a really effective player in the league. I feel as though they could, you know, they could surprise a few people, but again, it'll be a tough feat, that's for sure. But
yeah.
I feel as though Norwich are going to drop away from, as we're seeing now, it's just going to become a little bit too much. I feel as though the teams just above them are picking up points more often than what they are, and it's probably just going to eventually come to them kind of expecting relegation. You know, the last couple of times they've got relegated from the Premier League, they've been a bit of a yo-yo team. And, it's just been too much for them. But I'm excited to see what it brings, and I think it's good in not being too confident in what's going to happen. And
yeah,
something obviously we've not really had too much over the last few years in terms of competitiveness at the end of the season. Definitely. All throughout the league.
This is the first kind of game week for a while this season where there's genuine competition now for most areas of the table. I mean, the middle of the table, obviously, nobody pays much attention to, but the bottom 6-7 is still pretty tight. The top 2 is now become tighter and could get tighter still. And then the Champions League down to like 7th and 8th place is now interesting as well. So yeah, looks like we could be in for an actual interesting running for once. It was looking like it was going to be an absolute runaway for Man City. So, you know, at least we've got that to look forward to now. There's not going to be quite the runaway title that we thought it might be, eh?
No, yeah. I mean, that's it. And yeah, as long as it doesn't end result Liverpool winning the league, I'm as much as I don't want Man City to win it either, but you know, I can't stand seeing it.
Well, it's going to be interesting nonetheless, but that's about all we've got time for now. Thank you for watching, and thanks for your time again, Dave. The next time we talk, there will have been a midweek wave of games this week, isn't there, in the Premier League, just to catch up on all the fixtures. And I think Watford have got a couple of crucial ones as well, so maybe your prediction about Watford might be clearer next time we talk. But until then, mate, appreciate your time. Thank you again for watching, and we'll speak soon. Cheers.
See you soon.